where that I'm just going where God led me this morning. If you have a copy of God's Word, I ask you to turn with me to Luke chapter number 16. I want to read verse 19 through 31. And I want to talk to you and tell you that that man's in trouble. I want to tell you this morning that that man's in trouble. I want to tell you that that man is... Are you listening to me this morning? Are you listening to me? Hear me now. I was going to come in the book of Joshua. That's where I was coming, Joshua chapter number 9. And I was going to preach, don't be misled. But this morning, as I sat over there, I want to preach what the Lord's laid on my heart to preach. And I want to preach for just a few moments. And afterwards, we're going to have a baptism. And I want to preach, that man's in trouble. If that hits you right there, you need to listen up. You need to perk up a little bit and get your spiritual ears on. Pay attention. That man's in trouble. You said, why is that man in trouble? I want to show you why that man's in trouble. If you have a copy of God's Word, I ask you to stand as we reverence the reading of God's Word. Luke chapter number 16, verse number 19 this morning. And the Bible says, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember thou that thou in thy lifetime receivest the good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they would pass from thence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. And then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. And Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Our Father and our God, as we bow in your presence this morning, I love you and I praise you and I glorify you. Father, this morning I know that I'm preaching on a subject that's not common in most churches, but Father, this morning I don't want it to be uncommon here. Father, I want us to know that there is a heaven to gain, but there is also a hell to shun. And Father, I'm asking you this morning for that daddy, that pawpaw, that man that has wandered into this place this morning, that he's in trouble. Lord, I pray this morning that he get right before it's eternally too late. Father, I pray for that man, woman, boy, or girl that might be lost going to a devil's hell. I pray they repent and get right before it's eternally too late. I pray they get washed in the blood of Jesus. Father, I thank you for the blood that washes away our sin. I thank you that it don't roll us away. It don't roll the sin away, Father, but it washes our sin away. Father, I thank you for the book this morning. I thank you for the blood. I thank you that I've been bought by the blood. And Lord, I pray for the next few moments that you guard my throat and guard my throat, and let me just preach, thus saith the word of God. Lord, I pray you protect my physical heart this morning, Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I've not asked that in a while, but Father, this morning, I pray you'd put a hedge around it like never before, Father. Lord, I pray what the doctor fixed, that you would hold it together. Lord God, I pray it in the name of Jesus. Father, I love you, I praise you, I glorify you. Now I ask you to anoint me with the Holy Ghost in Jesus' most holy, precious name, and all of God's people said, amen. You may be seated this morning. I want to take a few moments this morning and preach a little title to you, that that man is in trouble. You say, preacher, what are you talking about this morning? I want you to know, as we read this story of the rich man and the beggar named Lazarus, I want you to know that this isn't a parable. This isn't a parable being spoken. Today that rich man is burning in hell, and according to the word of God, his next destination is in the lake of fire. In the Revelation 20:14, the Bible says, says, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. Folks, can I say to you that hell is not the final destination? There's going to come a day that hell is going to be cast into the lake of fire, and that person that is lost without Jesus Christ, that will be their final destination. They will end up in the lake of fire, and they will burn for eternity. I can't fathom, I can't imagine how somebody could burn for eternity and never burn up. But I want you to know that it's written in the book of life. With that which was not written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Please listen to me this morning, friends. There is no party in hell. There is no party in hell. There is no party animal in hell. Hey, the biggest, baddest dude you know, he's not having a party in hell. He is burning in hell right now. If he died without Jesus Christ, I want you to know that that man's in trouble, and everyone else that has died without Jesus is in trouble. And as your pastor, I don't want you to die without Jesus in your life. I don't want you to die without being born again. I don't want you to die just being on a church roll. I don't want you to die just being baptized. I want you to die being born again by the blood of Jesus Christ, by being born again. You say, preacher, why is that? Why is that man in trouble? Friends, I want you to know hell is a literal place. Can I get an amen? Hell is a literal place. And I want you to look, why is that man in trouble? If you look with me in verse number 23, I see number one, that there is a fire that won't stop in hell. There is a fire that will not stop in hell. You say, preacher, it can't burn forever. Friends, I want you to know that in hell, that rich man lifted up his eyes of being in torment. He was in torment because there is a fire that burns forever. The fire will not quit. The fire will not stop. That fire burns forever. And when a person dies without Jesus Christ, hell is their home. They're headed straight to hell. They're not headed to a holding place, but they're headed straight to hell and to burn for eternity. You say, why would you preach a message like that this morning? I want you to know, because there'll always be a hell and there'll always be people headed that way. And I may be the only message that you ever hear. I may be the last message you hear. I may be the last roadblock that you see to tell you that there's a hell to shun and there's a heaven to gain. I want you to know that there's a fire that won't stop in hell. I see you say, preacher, oh, what kind of fire is it? In verse 23, I see it's a real fire. I see this fire is real. It's not an imagination. It's a real fire. In verse 23, he said, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and he seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. You say, preacher, how is that fire real? How is it a real fire? Man, I want you to know that the Bible says in Matthew 13, 42, that there's wailing and gnashing of teeth. And he says in Matthew 13, 42, and shall they be cast into a furnace of fire where there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Friends, I want you to know, in hell there's nobody having a party. And don't believe what people say. Don't believe that you'll die and this is the end. This is not the end. When you die, you're either going to go to heaven or you're going to go to hell. And I want you to know, this man found himself in trouble because there's a real fire there. Can I say to you that there's a raging fire there? It never stops. It burns forever. Friends, not only is it real and it's raging, but it's a relentless fire. That fire will not stop. It will not give up. You say, preacher, are you trying to scare us out to believe in Jesus? I'm trying to do whatever it takes to get you to believe in Jesus. If it scares you to death to get born again, I want you to get born again. Friends, I want you to know that there's a hell to shun and there's a heaven to gain. Amen? And this morning I want you to know it's a real fire. It's a raging fire and it's a relentless fire. You will burn but never burn up. Mark 9:44 says about hell, where the worm dieth not. You know what your body is considered? It is considered a worm. It is considered a worm this morning. When you read the Bible and he says, where the worm dieth not. Friends, when you get there, you can squirm, you can cry, you can scream. But if you die without Jesus Christ, you will burn in a devil's hell. I see it, you burn forever where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Whoa, glory. Why is that man in trouble? Number one, he's at a place where the fire does not stop. Number two, he's at a place, get this morning, please. He's at a place where the Father can't help him. Listen to me, when you die here without Jesus, there is no hope over there. When you die here, your fate is sealed. When you draw your last breath here, it's either good morning in heaven or it's oh my goodness in hell. You pick which way you want to go. You pick where you're going to spend eternity. This morning I want you to know there is a fire that won't stop, but there is a Father that can't help him there. Look with me in verse number 24. You say, preacher, what does that mean? It didn't keep him from crying out. It didn't keep him from crying, but it wasn't going to do him no good. Look what he says in verse number 24 of the text. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. And he said, send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. There's your fire. He said, I'm tormented in this flame. At death, it's final. There's no prayer, no preacher, no nothing but to help you. When a person dies, their eternity is sealed. You will be completely aware of what's going on wherever you spend eternity. You'll be completely aware. Isaiah 55:6 says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. If he's drawing you this morning, you call on his name. You call on the name of Jesus. You will listen to me this morning. Hell is real. Amen. Man, I'm telling you what, we're going to baptize a man in a few moments. We went to his home this week, and I'm not going to tell nothing that's not true. I had been studying this before I went to his home. I had been studying this very same scripture. And when we went to his home and we got to talk to him, I asked the young man, we was out in his carport, and young man, at any time I'm not telling the truth, you stand up where you from where you're at and you denounce me that I'm not telling the truth. But I told him the same thing I'm telling you today. We stood under his carport there, and this young man, I got talking to him, and I asked him a question. I said, young man, where the rubber meets the road, and I'm asking you the same question. I said, right now, if you drawed your last breath, he looks like he's got going on. Man, I'm telling you what, he's got a good family. He's a good young man. But that young man, I asked him point blank. I said, if you died right now, do you know where you'd spend eternity? You said, preacher, that ain't none of your business. I beg to differ with you. Everybody's got breath in their lungs is my business. I want you to know that there's a God in heaven that loves you, and he wants a relationship with you, and he wants to save you. He wants to heal you. He wants to deliver you. And one day he wants to carry you to heaven. And there's not one person in hell that didn't have to climb over the blood of Jesus to get there. That young man stood there, and I said, do you know where you'd go if you died? He looked me dead in the eyes. I'm talking about he didn't blink. He said, if I died right now, I'd go to hell. I know I'd go to hell. I know I would go to hell. And I'd just been studying that about 5 minutes before I pulled up to his house. And I said, son, do you know what is in hell? Do you know what's going on in hell? I said, there is a fire in hell that you will burn for eternity. You just admitted that if you died in the state that you're in, that you would go to hell. There's some of you right now, your old stinking pride won't get you to let go of this world, won't you let you get go of this life, and you know that if you died, all your name is on a church row, that you're not really saved, that you're not truly saved, and when you died, you know you'd bust hell wide open. Friends, I want you to know that young man admitted, he said, I'm lost. I know that I'm lost. I said, son, listen to me. Right now, God's dealing with you. He's pulling on your heart. This kid's a big old guy, 31-year-old. Tears started flowing down his face. You could hit him on the end of the nose and he wouldn't cry. But listen to me, the Spirit of God was moving on him, and tears started flowing down his face. I said, listen to me. Not only is there a fire in hell, but the Father can't help you in hell. Right now, he's dealing with you, but when you get to hell, ain't nothing he can do for you. Even God himself can't help you when you get there. Folks, listen to me. This is true. This is real. That's why we preach the gospel. We preach the gospel that folks not go to hell, that they come to know Jesus. That man wanted peace. He wanted mercy. He begged for peace. He begged for mercy. Listen to me, if you live like hell, that's where you're going to spend eternity. If you live like hell, that's where you're going to spend eternity. I'll never forget a man. I'll never forget a day in my life. And I'll get back to this young man. I'll never forget a day in my life. A man got off work. Listen to me this morning. He got off work, went to Brother Tony Woodham's house and bought a car. And that night he bought that car and he went home and got him a fifth of whiskey. You know what he did? He run it off down here in the bottom, down here at the end of the road down here, and crashed that car, broke both of his legs, slap in two. And when the police pulled up at 2:30, he was cussing Brother B.J. Mills. He said, if I could get his hands on him, I'd kill him. I'd kill him right there where he's at. They called me. The police has got my number. And they called me, Brother Les. And they said, Brother B.J., are you down here in this bottom? I said, well, Lord, no, I'm in the bed. What are you talking about? He said, you ain't down here in the bottom? We're looking for you. I said, man, I'm in the bed with my wife. And at that time, my daughter, I think she was 18. She slept with us. Come on, y'all, wake up a little bit. Y'all are getting too wrapped in here. I said, Lord, no, I'm in the bed. What are you talking about? He said, this man's ready to kill you. I said, okay, who is he? Told me his name. I said, yeah, you're probably right. He said, if he mentions Jesus one more time to me, I'm going to kill him. I'm going to kill him. If he mentions him one more time, I'm going to kill him. They got him, they airlifted him out of there. Jeremy Kell broke every rib in his body doing CPR after he done died two or three times. They finally got him back, and every time he was going to kill me. About 4 or 5 days later, I gave him one of my cards with my number on it, and he called me up, Brother Eric, and he's in Tuscaloosa over at the hospital, and he calls me up, and he says, Brother BJ, what would you have done? Man, I want to kill you. What would you have done? I said, yes. He said, I ain't got nobody come get me, and I got two broke legs, and I don't know how I'm going to get home. I don't know what I'm going to do. I said, I'll come get you if you promise you ain't going to kill me. I'll come get you if you promise you ain't going to kill me. He said, I can't ride in the car. I said, don't worry. I got a good deacon named David Barnes, and I'll load David Barnes up, and we'll come get you in the church van. Most folks don't even know we use the church van to do that. Probably get fired, David. Me and you both are using church van. Go to help somebody. Huh? Too much gas we spent. Got over to Tuscaloosa, pulled up, and he's sitting out there, both legs straight up. I'm talking about straight up. David said, what are we going to do? I said, I ain't worried about him. We got him right now. I mean, too late, right? You don't think I'll whoop a cripple? I mean, this man ain't going to get me. He done told the police he's going to kill me. If I got to make a believer out of him right there, I'm going to do it, son, whatever it takes. David Barnes, am I telling the truth or am I lying? He's backing me. We get him. Listen to me. Don't let nobody lose you. There's a lot of walking going around here. Don't let people lose you. Spirit of God's in here. Don't let people lose you. Don't be looking at them. Let them go out. Let them do whatever they want to do. You listen to me right here for a minute. We got that young man up, and we put him in that van. And we come coming down 171 over out of Tuscaloosa, and we got coming out of there, and he got to cussing me, and he got to railing, did he, David? And he got to railing, and I done heard all I wanted to hear, and I just slammed on the brakes, threw him down in the floor. I turn around and I said, shut your mouth. I'm the only person that you got that's keeping you out of hell right now. You're going to die and go to hell in the shape that you're in. I'm the only help you got. I'm the only friend you got. And if you wouldn't have had my card, you wouldn't be going home now. People get mad when you tell them the truth. I said, we're the only help you got. He starts crying. Man, I'm not even mean to. I said, get up in that seat. Man, I come this morning to tell you, you say, preacher, you act like you're mad. I'm not mad. I'm just tired of people going to hell because of stupidity and won't give their life to Jesus. They want to live anyway and expect to go to heaven when they die, and they're not going to go. They're going to go to hell. And I'm telling you that. You say, well, I'll find me another church. Find you another church and you'll go from hell from there. It don't matter what church you go to. If you don't give your life to Jesus, you'll go to hell. We got that man up and we got him. I went back to check on him the next day, and here's what he told me. Me and David went by to check on him. Here's what he told him. I got to his house, and he said, is there any way you can help me? So what kind of help you want? Man, I just need help. Man, I'm sorry I was wanting to kill you. I'm so tired of hearing Jesus and that Jesus can help me. Man, I'm so tired of hearing that. When I grabbed that fifth of whiskey and killed that, I thought he'd get away, but the more I drunk, the more Jesus got on me. The more I pleaded, the more he got on me. And he said, I thought if I just kill you, I wouldn't have to hear it no more. I said, son, when I'm dead and gone, Jesus' name will still be here when mine's dead and gone. He said, preacher, what'd you do? I got David Barnes. We loaded that man up. We went to Walmart, spent about $100 and something on him, bought him a pair of pants, a pair of shoes, what he could be able to walk, put them on, got him some new underwear, new shirts. Man, he didn't have nothing. He done lost it all. On the way over there, we got to lead that man to Jesus. Got to lead that man to Jesus. He said, preacher, why'd you do that? Why are you telling us that this morning? Because I'm fixing to baptize a man that told me Friday that if he died, he was going to hell. That bothers me. Does that not bother you? That if that young man had died 10 hours later, he'd have been without Jesus on his way to work at 3 o'clock. If he'd had a wreck, by the last, he'd have died and went to hell and burnt forever. Does that not alarm you? Man, you got family that's doing this. You got friends, and we act like we don't care. We could care less. Nothing's bothering us, and people are in trouble. Man, he's in trouble. Man, we don't care. We sit on our padded pews, got our stained glass windows. The air condition's just right. The lights are just right. The music's just right. And we could care less about people's souls. Man, people are dying, and not everybody's going to heaven. They're leaving here, and they're going to hell. And the only hope they got is Jesus. And we got to give them Jesus. Folks, I want you to know, not only is there a fire in hell that will not stop, not only is there a father that can't help you. You know what he said there, Brother Tony? He said, it's what he, a lot of preachers tell you, he said, will he dip his finger in the water? He didn't say dip the finger. He said, will he just dip the tip? You know why he wanted that, Brother Lester? Some people's got longer fingers probably. Some people got, he just need a drink. He just need a drop. Give me the tip. When that young man got saved Friday, I didn't give him everything. I just gave him Jesus. I didn't tell him he had to clean up. I didn't get into his life. I don't know everything about him. Ain't none of my business. All I know is he told me he was going to hell if Jesus didn't move in. And I said, man, you don't want to go to hell. You want to go to heaven. That young man fell down on his knees, and he started repenting. And we got to that place, and I said, man, listen, admit that Jesus is the Son of God. Admit that Jesus, listen, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe that God had raised who? Who? Jesus from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I said, man, admit. And all of a sudden he said, and I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I didn't have to coach that young man on no more. Brother Kevin, I didn't have to say nothing else. Son, he started praying. Jesus, I know you're my king. Oh, look at here. Business has just picked up. When he got done, me and another brother was there, and when he got done, he went to get up, and I looked down, and I said, young man, don't you forget them tears right there on your stained concrete. Don't you forget them tears down there. Them tears is over knowing that you're not going to hell, but you're going to heaven. I want to tell you right now that not only there's a flame that burns forever, fire that burns forever. Not only is there a father that can't help you when you get there. Abraham said, I can't help you, son. There's a great gulf fixed between me and you. Where you're at's permanent. Right now, where you're at's not permanent, folks. You're not going to stay here forever. So I worry about dying. Don't worry about it. You're going to do it. Don't worry about it. You're going to do it. I'm scared to death, die. Don't be worried about it. Don't fear it. It's coming for all of us. Not only is there a fire. Listen to me. Not only is there a fire. Not only is there a father that can't help you. But you know why that boy is so tore up, Brother Kevin? He's got a family on the way. His family's on the way. And he knows it. He knows it. And he said, oh my gosh, not only am I in fire, not only can the Father not help me, but my family's coming here too. What about if you're the only Jesus they see? What if you're the only Jesus they see? That man was lost. That man didn't go to hell because he was rich. That man went to hell because he was lost. The beggar didn't go to heaven because he was broke. He went to heaven because he knew Jesus. And here's what he said. He said, I pray thee. He wanted peace. He wanted prayer. And he wanted a preacher in hell. He couldn't get none of them. All he got was pain. And here's what he said. He said, Father Abraham, if you can't, listen. At least send, if I can't go, just send Lazarus. Raise him from the dead. The guy he wouldn't even look on, now he's wanting, just get Lazarus up. Let Lazarus go tell him what's going on. Let Lazarus go tell him the pain I'm in. Whatever it takes, don't let my family come here. Don't let my family come here. Folks, listen to me, Daddy. You may be lost in here today, and the way you're living before your family's not even letting them know about Jesus. I'd hate to know I was in hell looking up, my family on their way, Brother Eric. I'd hate to know I was in hell looking up and my wife on her way. I'd hate to know I was in hell looking up and my little boy was on his way. I'd hate to know I was in hell looking up and my daughter was on her way. When I had a chance to call on the name of Jesus, I had a chance to be saved. I had a chance not to go to that fire. I had a chance to talk to the Father and he would help me. And now his family's on the way. Folks, I told that young man at his house, young man, anytime I'm wrong, you tell me. Folks, I talk this in church. I talk it out of church. I don't care where I'm at or who I'm in front of. Jesus is the way. He's the only way. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father except through Jesus. I told that young man. I said, young man, listen to me. There's a fire that you don't want to get into. There's a father that if you get there, you won't never be able to talk to him. You got opportunity now. And he had a little baby before we went outside in his arms. Cute little baby. You know, all babies are cute. You know that? Then we grow up, you know what I'm saying? But all babies are cute. That little baby boy was so cute. And I said, son, you don't want to be burning in hell seeing your boy headed that way too. Preacher, it's a coincidence you were studying that 5 minutes before you went to his house. No. You're lucky, preacher. No. I just know the Father. Don't worry about what you're going to speak. In the hour that you need it, he'll give it to you. In the exact hour, he'll give it to you. Me and one of my brothers knelt down whenever with that young man, and he called on the name of Jesus. Got up from there, Brother Eric, and I asked him, I said, you need to be baptized. You going to be there Sunday? He said, yeah, most time people get saved. They may lie to you. He's here. I don't know. I didn't know. My first time I ever met him. I didn't know if he was going to lie or tell the truth. You know what I'm saying? So I said, you going to be there Sunday? He said, yeah. I got his phone number. If I'm lying, young man, tell him. I called him last night. I said, hey, is this so-and-so? He said, yeah, preacher, it's me. I was like, who is on the other line? Who am I talking to? I said, son, you going to be baptized tomorrow? You still being baptized tomorrow? Yes, sir. I said, how you feel? He said, man, I got a peace. I feel great. I said, so you're coming in the morning? He said, oh, yeah, not only am I coming, but my daddy's coming. And he started naming all the people's coming. He said, preacher, what'd that do to you? When I got off the phone, I looked at Brandy. I said, he got in. I said, he got in. How do you know he got in, preacher? Because he told somebody. He told somebody. How do you know he got in, preacher? Because what he did down there on his knees before Almighty God, he wasn't ashamed when he got up and faced the people that he loved. This morning, I want to share this with you before we go. Not only there's a flame, not only there's a father that can't help you, and there's a family headed that way, but I want to leave you with good news. You don't have to go there. You don't have to go to hell. I want to share with you exactly what I shared with that young man. And here's what it is. Realize you're a sinner. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've heard that all of our life. Why not do something about it? Sin carries a penalty. Sin carries a penalty. Our sin debt is taken care of by Jesus. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 10:9, the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever, well, ain't you thankful for a whosoever gospel? Ain't you thankful we ain't a bunch of Calvinists over here? Ain't you thankful that when you was born, you was going to heaven and you was going to hell? Ain't you glad you ain't that way? That there's a God in heaven that can save you. That we don't believe when you was born, you're going to heaven. Well, no, you're destined to hell. No, I don't believe that. I believe for whosoever will. Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You say, preacher, what's the big deal? The rich man was worried about his father's house. Now, too late. He is worried about his brothers. Now, it's too late. You think he's still worried about them? No, they're there with him. They're there with him. Huh? Wants him to send Lazarus now. You think that rich man still wants him to send Lazarus? Oh, yeah. You got somebody in hell pulling for you right now. A man that's there. Said, don't let none of them come here. Don't let none of them come here. You said, no, he just quit with his family. Oh, no. He knows what torment is. He knows what pain is. Can you imagine being in hell? And I'm going to lend you with this. Can you imagine being in hell and knowing your family is headed that way. Me and one of my brothers, Brother Tony Woodham, we went to Seligent one day, Lawrence Plaza. Walked in at Lawrence Plaza to a man's house. Man was eat up with cancer, dying. I'm talking about dying. You can smell death. You ever smelled death? Y'all know what I'm talking about. The stench. I mean, when you walked in, you knew he was decaying and still alive. We walked in. He sat in his recliner and it was electric and he let it go back down. Know this man all my life. Brother Tony knowed him all his life. Hit the button and it went back down and it stopped. And he put his hands like this. I had my King James Bible. Brother Tony had his. And Brother Tony talked for a little bit. I talked for a little bit back and forth. And man, he was crying. We was crying. And we started witnessing to him about Jesus and what Jesus could do in his life. How Jesus could save him no matter what he had ever done. We told him. And when he finally could get his head raised back up, he said, listen to me now. Listen to me. He said, it's too late. I said, man, it ain't too late. There's air in your lungs. It ain't too late. He said, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, it's too late. I said, man, it ain't too late. All you got to do. See, devil make you think it's too late. The same devil make you think everything's good. He'll make you think it's too late. We said, man, all you got to do is call on the name of Jesus right where you're at. It ain't too late. He said, all my life, many, many times, God drawed me. And I rejected him. He'd draw, and I'd reject him. Didn't want nothing to do with him. And he said, now, me on my deathbed, I'm not going to call on him now. I said, preacher, what is that? Pride. Stinking pride. I went my whole life without him. Why do I need him now? That next morning at 9 o'clock, Brother Tony called me. And he called the man by name. He said, the funeral home just picked him up. He died about 5:30 this morning. So, preacher, where's he at right now? I don't know. I hope to God somewhere between 4 that evening and 5:30 that morning, maybe he let his pride down. Maybe he didn't care who was around him no more. Maybe he called. I don't know. But I do know this. If he didn't give his life to Jesus between 4 that evening when he told us he was lost to 5:30 that morning, he's in hell. You don't know how many people, Brother Kevin, Sister Kim, you can vouch for this, that we've seen. And we ask them, if you died, where would you spend eternity? And they tell you, they said, I'm lost. And they not make a decision right now and go home. And mom and daddy said, no, you ain't lost. You ain't lost. You ain't lost. Get away from that. You ain't lost. If somebody tells me they're lost and they don't know Jesus, they don't know Jesus. You're not, we've always grown up in church. Now, you're not lost. Your papa's a good man. And they come back to us and they say, I'm sorry, mom and daddy said I was saved. Listen to me, mom and daddy, that's not your authority. Listen to me, you're overstepping a line that you have no authority to be stepping over. You say, listen to me. When that spirit starts beating on that heart, and a man tells you he's lost, it ain't for no preacher, and it ain't for no mom and daddy to tell them that they're okay. That may have been the first time in their life they've ever been under true Holy Ghost conviction, and he drawed on that heart. I'm going to leave you with this. That man's in trouble. I wonder if that's you this morning. Sitting there right there, can't even stand your own self. Eat up on the inside. I don't know why God wanted me to bring this morning, but I did. And I brought what he wanted me to bring. And I don't want no man, woman, boy, or girl in this place to be in trouble when that time comes in their life. You've been warned. What will you do about it? Father, we love you. Father, this is the quietest I've heard it at Union Chapel in forever. Lord, the kids are quiet. Thank God for the kids we got here, Father. I thank you right now. But Lord, there's a holy hush on this building. Lord, there's not even no Bible zipping up. Lord, there's not even no pages being turned. Lord, there's not even no heads being ducked. They know I'm telling them the truth. Father, if there's one in here this morning that's lost, that don't know you, I'm asking you in the name of Jesus to put a pull on them this morning that they would come. I'm asking you right now, Father, that you allow the Holy Ghost to draw them, that they don't spend eternity in hell, in the flame, and away from you. That's the pure punishment. Lord, I pray this morning that you'd have your will and your way. I thank you, Father, for the ones that saved in here. I don't know nobody's heart, Father, but I do know this. If that Spirit's drawing, let them draw. Draw them to an old-timey altar so they can do business with an old-timey God. I love you and I praise you, Father. Thank you for saving me. Thank you that I'm not the same person. Thank you. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. I ask you to